Tasmin vava kilasa ekala pulaha shramo pavane vivita kusama kishalayak tulasikam bubi kandamula padopaharascha samihamanu bhagavata aradhanam vivikta uparata vishaya vilasha upabritto pashama param nivrittim avapa. So you can repeat. Tasmin. In that ashram. Vavalakila. Indeed. Sahab. Bart Maharaj. Ekalaha. Alone, only. Pulaha ashrama upavane. In the garden situated in Pulaha ashrama. Vividda kusama kishalaya tulasika ambubihi. With varieties of flowers, twigs and tulasi leaves, as well as with water. Kandamula pala upaharahe. By offerings of roots, bulbs, and fruits. Cha. And. Samihamanaha. Performing. Bhagavataha. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aradhanam. Worshipping. Vivektaha. Purified. Uparata. Being freed from. Vishaya abhilashaha. Desire for material sense enjoyment. Upabritta. Increased. Upashama. Tranquility. Param. Transcendental. Nivritim. Satisfaction. Avapa. He obtained. So translation. In the gardens of Pulaha Ashram, Maharaja Bharata lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs, and tulasi leaves. He also collected the water of the Gandaki River, as well as various roots, fruits, and bulbs. With these he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and worshipped him. And worshipping him, he remained satisfied. In this way, his heart was completely uncontaminated, and he did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service. So you can repeat. In the gardens of Pulaha Ashram, Maharaja Bharata lived alone. And collected a variety of flowers, twigs, and tulsi leaves. He also collected the water of the Gandaki River. As well as various roots, fruits, and bulbs. With these he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. And worshipping him, he remained satisfied. In this way, his heart was completely uncontaminated. And he did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, He felt full satisfaction.
And was situated in devotional service.
So purport by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Everyone is searching after peace of mind. No, we don't usually repeat the purport. Special message from Krishna. This is obtainable only when one is completely freed from the desire for material sense gratification and is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yume Vakya Prayachati, 9th chapter, text 26. Worship of the Lord is not at all expensive. One can offer the Lord a leaf, a flower, a little fruit, and some water. The Supreme Lord accepts these offerings when they are offered with love and devotion. In this way, one can become freed from material desires. As long as one maintains material desires, he cannot be happy. As soon as one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, his mind is purified of all material desires. Then one becomes fully satisfied. Savai pumsam paradharma yatyo bhaktir hoksajaya haitukhiya pratyata yayatma supratidate vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga pratyojita jinayati asu vairagyam jnanam cha yod ahaitukam. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, texts 6 to 7. These are the instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, the supreme Vedic literature. One may not be able to go to Palaha Ashrama, but whatever one is, one can happily render devotional service to the Lord. Wherever one is, one can happily render devotional service to the Lord by adopting the processes mentioned above. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah. Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, the austerities of Maharaj Bharat are being mentioned. Actually, several austerities here. Obviously, he wasn't eating too much cooked food. And obviously, he didn't have any friends there either. It's described in the beginning here that he lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs, and tulsi leaves, and he offered this to Krishna, and he just took the remnants of all these different things. So the question we're going to arises is austerity. What is the purpose of these different austerities? And actually, for many of us who are attached to things in this material world, the austerities that Dhruva Maharaj is executing are frightening, to say the least. Frightening in the sense that, you know, we don't want to do that. As I've told the story many times before, when I first joined the movement, there were some devotees who were eating less than me, which was pretty easy to eat less than me, because I was very addicted to eating a lot of prasadam. Actually, I was very fond of... the quote from Srila Prabhupada is that you should eat so much prasadam you fill up to the neck. You know, this is my favorite quote from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Imagine, eat so much you fill up to the neck. And we follow that instruction very, very strictly. Taking the words of the spiritual masters, our life and soul. We did that. And then so much, we even went beyond that, and that prasadam went beyond the neck, you know. And reach the mouth sometimes. So, so then I saw some devotees who were more austere, and that means every other member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, who are more austere than me. And then I was thinking, what is this that they're doing? And the other devotee said, well, that's a very advanced devotee, particularly one particular devotee I'm thinking about. And I was thinking, if this is advancement, I don't want to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because if one has to give up eating like this, then becoming a pure devotee is not worth it. So, at least that was my consciousness as a new devotee. So, what is the purpose of all these austerities that he's executing? And I'm going to speak about many different purposes. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we find described different basic austerities or categories of austerities that devotees should be executing, and the austerities of the body, mind, and words. And this, of course, is in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes austerities of the body, mind, and words. And I'll just go over this real quickly. There's three verses. In the austerity of the body, Krishna says it consists of worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual masters, superiors like the father and mother. That's interesting. Prabhupada even had devotees offer obeisances to their mothers or fathers when the mother and father came to visit Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would instruct the devotees, you know, offer obeisances to them. Of course, you do follow the spiritual master more than the mother or father. Anyway, that's another issue. And in cleanliness, you know, if it comes to a conflict, if, like my mother, she said, you should become a doctor. And my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said, you should serve Krishna. So this is like a conflict. and so I chose one over the other. I didn't do a mediation or a conflict resolution. I just like, he wins, she loses. If you ever study like conflict theory, you know, everybody talks nowadays about win-win, right? You ever heard about that before? But that's actually what you're supposed to be doing when you have a conflict. So instead, he wins, she loses. And I'm happy. And of course, by him winning and she losing in that instance, she actually won in the long run. That's another point. So anyway, superiors like father and mother, and cleanliness. The prophet said cleanliness is next to godliness. The temple should be revolutionary clean. Simplicity. Simplicity doesn't mean you're like dressing yourself up with, you know, opulently. Just being, not that one should dress slovenly like a Navaduta. Because you're preaching Krishna consciousness. It was very simple. One should be very simple. And then celibacy and nonviolence. That's austerity of the body, recommended by Krishna. Austerity of the speech, and I've quoted this many times before, consists of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. Interesting. And then also regularly reciting Vedic literature. And then finally, we have the austerity of the mind. And this is really what the physical austerities are meant to bring us to. Satisfaction. In other words, being satisfied in whatever Krishna has given you, you know, whatever situation you're in, whatever material amenities you have, not thinking that you need more. That's what satisfaction means. The word in Sanskrit is tushti. Let's see what word they use here, satisfaction. They use mana prasadaha. That basically means satisfaction of the mind, but another word is tushti, like tushanti cha, ramanti cha. One who is Krishna consciousness is always satisfied, and ramanti, he's always enjoying. Machita margata parma. Bodhiyantas cha parasparam. Katiyantas cha mam nicham tushanti cha, ramanti cha. I think most of you know that verse. That the thoughts of my devotees are focused on me. Manchita, madgata, prana, bodhiyantascha, parasparam. And they're always chanting, katiyantascha, mam nicham, eternally chanting my glories or chanting my eternal glories. There's two ways to translate that. In this way, they're tushanti cha, ramanti cha. They're satisfied. So Basically, that's the way to be satisfied in any situation, not thinking you need more, or what is it, hankering or lamenting over what you lost. Those are the two methods of dissatisfaction, is to hanker for something. Hanker means you want it in the future. I need it. Or lament over something you lost. Oh, I lost my dear beloved or whatever. We all lose things, isn't it? And I'm not talking about losing your keys. There are some devotees who lose their keys regularly. Anyway, so, but, you know, something that's near and dear to you. Oh, my cat passed away last year. And I'm celebrating the disappearance day of my cat. Anyway, so that's satisfaction, simplicity, gravity. Gravity means, basically, it doesn't mean that you always have to be serious. You know, sometimes people think like that, because the word gravity is very similar to the word grave. Oh, he's very grave. And also, that's where someone's buried, in a grave. It's interesting how the word, isn't it? The word has two meanings like that. He's very grave, and he's buried in a grave. Anyway, so, but gravity means always to be, the gravity also means the force that holds you down to the earth planet. That means always engage in Krishna's service. And one can be humorous and engage in Krishna's service too. But he's always centered on Krishna because the gravity is pulling him that way. Self-control and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So these are the threefold austerities that Krishna mentions in the Gita. There are austerities in the mode of goodness, in which we should be executing this. We're supposed to cultivate the mode of goodness. The reason the mode of goodness should be cultivated is that then our minds will be peaceful, and then we'll be able to focus on Krishna. The mode of goodness in and of itself is not sufficient to take you to the spiritual platform. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Those are two logical terms. Necessary means it's an ingredient, a very important prerequisite, so that you can focus on Krishna. But there's people who are in the mode of goodness who are not at all Krishna conscious. So in other words, it's absolutely necessary, but in and of itself, it doesn't get you Krishna consciousness. So, but anyways, we should be cultivating the mode of goodness. And that's one of the reasons for executing physical austerity, doing things in the mode of goodness. Like elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about food in the mode of goodness. Food in the mode of goodness is very healthy. It gives the body flesh. And that, you know, Krishna mentions fattening, but that means it actually increases the vitality of the body. So that's and food in the mode of passion is too spicy, you know, it's hot, and we know people with too salty, and food in the mode of ignorance is putrid, stale, and decomposed. Like, and there's some vegetarian food in the mode of ignorance too, which is like Limburger cheese or something like that, something that smells really bad. Probably, you know, even like canned food sometimes can be understood like that, to be in the mode of ignorance. Anyway, so cultivating the mode of goodness is extremely important. So I was thinking about other purposes of austerity or austerities in helping us advance in devotional service, in addition to the point of helping us cultivate the mode of goodness. And I actually listed some of these principles or purposes of austerities. One is, to me it's very, very important, is that it strengthens your determination when you're performing austerities. In other words, it's like you're exercising a muscle of determination. That if you're always just like going with the impulses of the senses or with the impulses of the mind, then your intelligence, which is supposed to control the mind and the senses, as we know that example is given in the Gita, that The intelligence is actually the driver of the car and the reins, the cart, not a car, the cart, and the reins are the mind and the horses are the senses. And so generally we have the intelligence just like sits there and lets the horses and the reins take the cart away. And just like you can imagine, like a driver who never exercises. I don't know if anyone's ever driven a horse here. I have, and if you don't do it all the time, then you need some muscles to, you know, do the reins on a horse or something like that. Or let's say, give a better example of plowing a field with an oxen. And you need muscles. In other words, you have to do it on a regular daily basis. And when you don't use your muscles regularly, they atrophy. This is a common thing. Atrophy means they become useless because they haven't been used. That sounds like I'm using the same word. But, you know, if you don't use something, you lose it. As they say, use it or lose it. So muscles are any part of your brain is like that, too. You know, the people talk about how to prevent Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease means when you get old, you become cranky, like me. So, no, Alzheimer's disease means that when you get old, you actually start to forget who you are, where you live, and you can't even let someone go to the store by themselves because they may not come back for 3 or 4 days later, and the police will be bringing them back because they can't figure out where they live, even though the store is 2 blocks away. So what they say is that if you regularly use your brain, there's less chance of you getting Alzheimer's disease or it'll be less serious. In other words, use your brain regularly. So the same thing with determination. By doing physical austerities, in other words, doing something that you really wouldn't want to do ordinarily, like your inclination or your impulse is not to do ordinarily, but you force yourself to do it. I mean, let's say a cold shower, for example. Now, I'm not saying everybody should take a cold shower. I remember there was one devotee, he would turn off the hot water in his house so everyone would have to take a cold shower, or in the temple. In the old days, we did that, not voluntarily. It's because the temple didn't have money to pay for hot water. I remember going to New York Temple in 55th Street. I don't know if you remember this, Apurva. There was no hot water in the whole temple, and in the middle of the winter, you turn on the faucet and it's like needles piercing your skin. Do you remember that? Everyone took a quick shower in those days. You didn't find anyone. You know, why are you staying in the shower so long, Prabhu? I need to use the bathroom. You know, it was like a 2 minute people go in the bathroom and come out. Quick a shower. You know, because you didn't even, what you do, you take some water, you soap yourself up, and without the shower on, and then you turn on the water to wash the soap off. And that's all you do. You don't stand out of the water there. So that's an involuntary austerity, which actually can make you very resentful, too. I remember sometimes the children were forced to undergo these involuntary austerities, and it didn't help them have a taste for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it helped them have a distaste for Krishna consciousness. So, isn't it? When you're forced to do austerities. Like Prabhupada said in the Gurukula, if it's properly managed, the children should consider austerities to be fun. If it's not fun, the children shouldn't be doing it. He says, take that shower. No! No! I'm throwing you in the shower whether you like it or not. So that's, you know, if that sort of austerity, you know, is not going to make someone Krishna conscious. But when one voluntarily decides to do it for his own purposes, basically, just like the austerity, for example, the austerity, material austerity of exercising because you want to win the Olympics. You know, someone, if they want to win, you know, a gold medal or a silver medal or at least a bronze medal, they have to exercise for so many hours a day. I mean, you're competing against the best of the best. You know, what is it? La creme de la creme? Is that proper French? Thank you. So you're you're competing against the best of the best. So you got to, and that's an austerity. Can you imagine? And I'm not talking about taking steroids like Lance Armstrong did. But anyway, none of you know what I'm talking about. So so it's an austerity, but you are enjoying because you have a higher purpose there. Your higher purpose is to win the gold medal. So if people have a purpose, then voluntarily executing austerities makes the mind very strong, your determination of the mind, not the mind's material things like accepting, rejecting things. It just makes you very strong so you can do things other than just the that particular austerity itself. You can do things that you thought you couldn't do before. You have much more determination. So it helps you become much more determined. It strengthens the determination by doing physical austerities. Of course, there's a limit. You know, if you do physical austerities that hurt your physical self or mental self, then that's actually demoniac, according to Krishna and the Gita. Isn't it one of, and it bothers, it disturbs the super soul, too. That person's known as a demon. I mean, obviously, there's a limit to what sort of austerities you should execute. But it just strengthens your determination. Another one is that another reason for austerities is that we're minimizing the resources that we're using. And of course, that's very politically correct nowadays. You know, people are talking about there's limited resources in the Earth planet. You're supposed to use just what you need. And actually, in the Vedic literature say that we should use just enough to keep the body and soul together. Because Ishavashamidam Sarvam Yatkan Cha Jagadam Jagat Tena Jaktena Punjita Magrat Hakash Svidanam. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord, and everyone is given a quota. And one should not take more than one's quota, what one actually needs. Another reason for austerities of not taking more than your quota, is you save a hell of a lot of time. I mean, a lot of time by living simply. I mean, it's amazing. Just like, I mean, even my own self, you know, I have more than I actually need. When I was living in a cabin in the woods, life was very simple and not so expensive either. You know, you have to have a bucket of water you throw on yourself to take a bath in the morning. It's a little tiny cabin in the woods. Now I have a bigger house. It requires like a whole cleaning crew. I have to pay them salaries. and then electric bill every month. And things break down and the mold starts growing. You got to take care of the mold. You know what the mold is? In North Carolina, mold is very prominent. I mean, probably everybody has the problem in their house because it's very damp here in North Carolina. It's not something wrong with your house. It's just part of living here in North Carolina. So then it's so much headache. You know, this breaks down, that breaks down, the electric bill, change the light bulbs. You know, if the toilet breaks down, and if it breaks down, you got to take the toilet out of your house and just try to figure out what's plugging it up. I mean, it's just, the septic pump, the septic out. You know, it's a lot more endeavor. Life used to be so much simpler. Like we have Pani Bhushan lives in a van, right? And it's very simple. He's carefree, happy. He likes it. He has a lot of time for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, maybe he has a sleeping bag he has to wash once in a while. So that's about it. That's his whole belongings. And it, yeah, look at me, a so-called renunciate. He has, you know, the like closets filled with like Imelda Marcos, you know, all of her shoes and everything like that. So many shoes. Like yesterday, I want to go for a walk. I was looking at my shoes. Which one should I take for a walk? which hat should I wear? You know, I have all these different stocking hats. When I was, you know, does it match my outfit? Is this really me? So, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But the point is, life becomes much more complex. And, you know, then, you know, a computer for the left hand, a computer for the right hand. You know, a big screen for the computer, a camera for this, a camera for that. And where's the time left for chanting Hare Krishna? You know, life becomes so complex. I mean, even, you know, this one's not about myself. People say, well, life will be easy for me if I buy a house and, you know, it'll belong to me. I won't have to pay rent. And then they end up, it's a trick of modern society, because then you have this interest rate you got to pay on your loan too. And you have the taxes you have to pay every year. And so you become entrapped in all these different things. I mean, for Krishna, obviously we can do these things. I'm not denying that. I mean, for Krishna, we can accept some opulence. Like, you know, Prabhupada, of course, came sometimes in a Rolls Royce, and there was a little criticism of that. But still, Prabhupada said even a Rolls Royce is not good enough for the founder Acharya. Even a gold car wouldn't be good enough, Prabhupada said. So I should remember, I should get a gold car. So anyway, I'm not a founder of Acharya, though. But. So it saves a lot of time. And then you can chat. You know, you just look at... I remember when I was on traveling Sankirtan, and I also lived in a van, like Panagushan, when I was a good devotee. Then, but we had so much time for preaching. It was amazing. We'd go out, I mean, you'd wake up the same time, 4 o'clock in the morning, you have your morning program in the KOA bathroom. You know what a KOA bathroom is? Campgrounds of America. Those older devotees would know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You have your morning program there in the bathroom, you know, God forbid someone would walk in to use the bathroom while you were there chanting japa or having, or in a laundromat. We used to have our morning programs in laundromats, all-night laundromats. They don't have so many all-night laundromats anymore because the crime has increased in America. But in those days, the laundromat was open all night. And it was warm. You know, when you're traveling in Chicago, you know, you want to go somewhere warm for your morning program. When it's 30 below zero, and the wind chill factor takes it to 100 below zero in Chicago. It's really like that in Chicago. So... And then, so, you know, you have your morning program, you have some simple prasadam, you know, sweet balls, so, whatever. And then it's like 7:30 and you're all finished reading, having morning class, cleaning your clothes, because if you have your morning program in the laundromat, you can do two things at the same time. Right? I mean, why not? Why not? You know, you set up your altar on the laundry machine, and inside the laundry machine, your clothes are there doing their thing. You know, that, we did that. I'm sorry. That's just making that up as a story. And so by 7:30, everything's finished, and you're chanting your rounds, read, did your laundry, you ate, you know, talked a little prajapa with the other brahmacharis, and then you looked at the street, it's time for sankirtan. Uh-oh. I have to go out at 7:30 in the morning? And he said, yeah, there ain't nothing else to do because you're in a van. You know, what else are you going to do? You know, tidy things up. I mean, how much can you tidy things up? How much can you tidy things up in a van, right? You do this too, Apurva, right? You went on travel. I'm sure you went on travel. He said, he said, you can't fool around too much. So you just walk out the door. What do? You have to go out and preach, right? Life's so simple like that. You're out there preaching. What can you do? People are coming by. You got to speak to them and distribute books, even though you like to be warm in your warm and fuzzy bed, you know, with your teddy bear. With your, you know, futon. I mean, nowadays, you know, suppose you come to this futon that's as big as this room, basically. You know, so that was big. It's bigger than the van I used to travel in. Then Bonnie Bush is bad. Can you imagine? You know, what a sense gratifier. So then you're preaching all day long, and, you know, by the time it's 10 o'clock, because you've already preached 2 hours or something like that, you're starting to feel ecstatic. And by the time it's 12, you're even more ecstatic. And then you take a break for lunch, but, you know, you can't talk for jowl because it's only you and your little bag of nuts or something like that. Nuts, isn't it? I mean, that's all you have. I mean, you can't spend a lot of time, you know, checking the mail, you know, checking your email. Because it wasn't email in those days, right? No, yeah, we didn't know what email was. It was nothing. And no mobile phones, no one to call. There was only a pay phone, and that was too expensive to use. You know, if you want to report your Sankirtan scores, you just do a collect person-to-person call for Mr. Sankirtan. And they would return your call, and you'd have to report your scores, right? And so that perfect remembers these things. Yeah. And then so, you know, then you're all day long. And then it's 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. You come back, you read Krishna book and take a little hot milk. And you're so ecstatic because you've been engaged for 12 hours in intense service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why physical austerities are good for you, because you have more time for serving Krishna, you become more ecstatic. And then when you advance in Krishna consciousness, you become a sense gratifier like me. So, so that's another reason. I was just thinking about these reasons for minimizing things or physical austerities. Another reason is you actually become independent. You're not dependent on the mercy of others. We're not talking about the mercy of the spiritual master here. We're talking about ordinary course of events. You know, when you're independent like that, there's a sense of freedom, and you're not controlled by others. Like when you have to take resources for others, you need someone to cook for you, you need someone to clean for you. And then you're just like, you know, your sense of autonomy is not there anymore. There's actually great ecstasy in being autonomous. You know, be able to do things for yourself. And then, it says one becomes weakened by depending too much on the mercy of others. As I said before, that doesn't mean spiritual master's mercy. That means on others just doing things for you gratuitously. I mean, I've seen people brought up in so-called rich families who had people tie their shoes for them, brush their teeth for them, and everything. And then they're just like incompetent later on in life. Whereas you see Prabhupada, we'll end up with this story about austerity. Prabhupada, he did everything by himself. He wasn't dependent on others. What do I mean by that? I mean, we're going to be giving a seminar this Sunday, or talk this Sunday, about Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya. And so this is part of it, that the Gaudiya Math, before they sent anyone to the West, which means the UK or London, they worked hard to produce one book, the whole Gaudiya Math, you know, produce one book, and which was done by Professor Sanyal. Anyway, there was one book about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the ecclesiology of Krishna consciousness. And I'm not going to get into describing what that is. So there was one book, but it took a whole society to produce that one book. You know, all the resources, money, everything. But Prabhupada himself single-handedly produced three books, published a magazine by himself. And we're not talking about Prabhupada didn't have an editor, he didn't have a proofreader, he didn't even have a person who purchased paper. He purchased his own paper. So when one establishes increases one's sense of autonomy, you can do a lot more for Krishna. So Prabhupada showed this by his own example, isn't it? Can you imagine producing three books? No money, no help. I mean, Prabhupada, of course, asked for money from different people, but he was the one who facilitated everything for the production of three books. That is the first three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, on that note, so that's another reason for austerity.